The question today is, what would it take for me to be saved? This is part two of this question. We received this by email, and we'd like to try to answer it as best we could. We've looked at the fact that in the last broadcast that one must be lost. He must come to the point of a reality of lostness before he can ever be saved. No man will be saved until he first gets lost. Realizes he's lost. He, even though he is lost and don't even know it, that's not enough. God's got to reveal to you you're lost. The second thing we talked about is necessary. There must be some understanding. The good ground in Matthew 13 had understanding. They were the only ones that were saved of that parable, and therefore they had good ground and they had understanding. Understanding means to put some things together, and that can only be done by the Lord, and He teaches sinners in the way. That's a narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Psalm 25:8 tells us that. He teaches sinners in the way. He gives you the understanding you need. Now, don't let these preachers tell you that God doesn't show a lost man anything, because He does. You've got to have understanding for your heart to be good ground about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. We also said you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek, but you say the lost man doesn't seek God. The natural man doesn't, but when God stirs you and awakens you, you cease being natural in that sense. It's like a conception and a birth, and there's going to be a birth come about. The Lord wants that. He doesn't start something He doesn't want to finish, and He doesn't mean He'll finish it if you nonchalantly sit by the wayside, but you must seek Him, and that sometimes takes some time, because He's got to undo some things in your life. Many times we've had some preconceived ideas of what salvation is like. We've had a false profession that's hard to throw away. God's got to show you that profession's not real. He's got to show you that baptism's not what saves you. That's not what it takes for you to be saved. It's not your church membership. It's not your perfect attendance in Sunday school. It's not asking Jesus in your heart. It's not praying the sinner's prayer. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It has to be done. And that's what has to be done. And it's got to be a complete work of Holy Ghost conviction. Now, Holy Ghost conviction is what the old-timers used to use. You don't hear about it much today because it's not any experience. People come down the aisle, an invitation that's got this little easy believism plan. Repeat this prayer after me, and they're popping their bubble gum, and there's no weeping over their sin. There's no sense of repentance. There's no work of God done in their heart. And then they give false assurance by the preacher. They put their name in their Bible and say, "And if you ever doubt your salvation, come back to that Bible and show the devil right there is where I got saved." Well, that's not salvation. That's not right. That's not where your assurance comes from. And if you, what would it take for me to be saved? You must have a complete work of Holy Ghost conviction. And that means all preachers and all personal workers needs to stay away. They can help you as far as showing you what the Scripture says, but the salvation's of the Lord. He's got to bring you through. He's got to birth you into the family of God. And of course, Holy Ghost conviction being what the old-timers used to use, it's still updated. It's still right. It's still what the Bible said. It's equivalent in a similar fashion to the word reprove in John 16:8, where He said the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, that's the factual part of the Holy Ghost conviction. Is that the word reprove means to convict and convince and to rebuke and tell a fault. That is what it means. We've dealt with that in a previous message on Ask the Pastor. But it's those things. It means it's got to all be done there. And you need to be convicted of sin, the sin of unbelief, John 16:9, of sin because they believe not on me. You need to be convinced of judgment or convicted of judgment, if you please. And that is a judgment is hell. Sure it is, but because the prince of this world is judged. If God sent Lucifer, His right-hand man, to the lake of fire and into hell, if He's going to send him, who he was the highest archangel at that time, then if God did that to him, He sure won't let you get by without coming God's way. You must have the blood applied in your life, and so therefore He's got to convict you of judgment. But He also's got to convince you of righteousness of God. And righteousness is Jesus Christ, whom you need. It's not some set of facts that you need to embrace. It's not some figment of your imagination that looks at these pictures on the wall and say, "That's the Jesus I need." It's not one hanging on a cross. Thank God He's resurrected at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. He loves you enough. He prayed for you on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed for them. And then also He prayed on the cross of Calvary. He prayed in that intercessory prayer, John 17:20, on the way to the garden. But then on Calvary, the first thing recorded that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." It wasn't just those hanging around the cross that literally put Jesus on the cross, because my sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Therefore, he was praying for me. He was praying for you. And not only that, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father praying today. And it takes a complete work of convincing you that Jesus is the righteousness you need. It's not living right and doing those things. It's not outside cleaning up the outside. It's a work of God on the inside. It's a work of Holy Ghost conviction. That's the factual part. Now, the emotional part comes by what we call godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10. And in context, and always dealing with a saved man, but the principle for repentance to be worked is it must be worked by godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is deep, cause grief. And he said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, but worldly sorrow worketh death. So godly sorrow is deep, cause grief over your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. And that'll work repentance in you. Now, repentance is a work of God. That's something God grants you. The Bible talks about being granted. So it comes through the work of Holy Ghost conviction, the emotional part, godly sorrow, the factual part, the work of reproval. And when you put that together, you'll find that has to be complete in all three areas of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment in your life. You must be convinced and convicted and lay blame on with the purpose of correcting it. That's what the word reprove means, that you might come to that place of knowing that you are more than just a sinner. You're lost. You're separated from God, and you know that the only way the law has condemned you. You need the law preached to you. The law. You said, "But preacher, we're not under law." Oh, yes, you're under law if you're not saved. You're under the law of God, and the law of God brings condemnation and judgment and death, and that's where you'll head without the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus fulfilled the law for you, and therefore, when you come to Him, your sins are charged to His account, and His righteousness placed on your account. And He said, "When I see you, I see the blood, and I'll pass over you," in that sense. But there must be a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction in every person for you to be saved. Now, the Lord's able to save anyone. I don't care if you may say, "Well, I'm so bad the Lord can't save me." That's a lie of the devil, because He saved Legion. And Legion was pretty bad shape from our standpoint of looking. And then Paul said He saved him. And Paul said he was chief of sinners. And that was under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, he's chief, and you might be next to the chief in one sense, but you're going to get to that place to where you know I'm in bad shape. I mean, I'm lost, and the law brings condemnation on you, but God, in His goodness and His mercy and His love, shows you Jesus Christ and has the work of Holy Ghost conviction working in your heart to complete that you might have the repentance granted and faith produced. So you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to obey the gospel. That's what you've got to do to be saved. And the only way you can obey the gospel is for God to work those things in you. For instance, obeying the gospel means to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Somebody said, "Well, you don't have to repent." Oh, yes, you do, because he also said in the book of Acts, he preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They're inseparable. They go together like love and marriage and the horse and carriage, repentance and faith. And so, therefore, even though he didn't mention it, remember, Acts is history. Every word's not recorded in that sense. It's not where you build your doctrine. You build your doctrine on the epistles, and you'll know you can come back to the book of Acts, which is history, and you'll have no trouble with the book of Acts. Repentance is a work of God. It's something that He grants, and it's done by His working of godly sorrow in your heart. And that, as that repentance is a noun, it's something that's substance, it's something He does in your heart. But it enables you to repent or obey the gospel in that area. You can't repent until God grants you repentance. There's no way under God's heaven that you can ever repent. You may say, "I repent." You may go through all the motions. You may cry and weep and do all those things. But until God grants you repentance, you'll never be saved. And it takes a work of God, a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction, for that to happen. Also, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of being part of obeying the gospel. And how do you believe? Well, you say, "I've got faith." What kind of faith do you have? You see, there's an intellectual faith that God is, and that leads you to a seeking faith. that looking like Abraham, looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, but it'll lead you to a saving faith if you'll continue in His Word. And that means it's that God's got to give you faith. John 3:27, John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. And that faith has to come from God. In fact, the Bible refers to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His faith. And therefore, He grants it to you. When He grants you faith, you say, how does it come? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And that word for word is harema, which means the utterance of God. However God speaks to you, it may be while you're reading the Scripture, He'll grant you faith. It may be the preacher preaching. But it's going to be the Lord quickening what the preacher says and quickening these words of printed on paper. It's got to be quickened by the Lord Himself to you and made real to you. He's got to utter it to you. He's got to speak it to you. And when He grants you faith, then you can believe the gospel and obey the truth of the gospel. And to get connected to that is repenting as well. And that's what has to be done for you to be saved. You must repent and you must believe, and you can't do that without a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. And therefore, He wants to work in you all that's needed. Now, you say, preacher, how long does this all take? I'm not saying how long it takes. I don't know how long it takes, but it takes long enough for it to be real, to where you'll be saved and secure. And therefore, I'll stay with people while they're going through this, even though many preachers do not believe they got a quickie. They give you a quickie. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. That's not of God. That's not Bible. That will lead you astray. Just pray the sinner's prayer, they'll say. That's not God. That's not Bible. That'll lead you astray. You must have a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction for you to be saved. You can't invite Jesus into your heart. He's got to open your heart for you to be saved. And therefore, salvation's of the Lord, and you'll give the Lord complete glory for everything that's done. How long does it take? I don't know, but long enough. And how much godly sorrow is needed? Enough. How much Holy Ghost conviction? Enough. How much reproval? Enough. Enough to bring you to the end of yourself, to recognize you're lost and realize you're lost. I mean, more than a revelation, but a reality that you're lost, and to see that you and it's not just to keep you out of hell, as I've said before, but He wants to save you for His glory, and therefore you'll come to Jesus and want Him for who He is, not just what He can do for you. And the Lord's got to bring you to that place. Now, many times you ask how long it takes. A lot of times that depends on your previous lifestyle, what you've learned. If you learn some wrong things, it's going to take a while for you to have those things undone, and it takes the Holy Ghost to undo those things, unlearn you from those things, and then teach you the things of God and the ways of God that you might be saved. So what does it take for me to be saved? You must be lost. You must have some understanding. You must seek after God. You must have a complete work of Holy Ghost conviction, and you must obey the gospel, and that takes a work of God. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.